Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today we're doing salam because I'm with Sheikh Malam Ustaz Umar Ghana and Sheikh Malam Ustaz Salim. Again. So the program is going to be very simple today. You know, we have themed dishes per episode. So today we're doing small chops episode, small chop edition. And before we go any further, we'd like Mr. Sheikh Umar Malam Margana to introduce himself, and then we can begin.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I think the first adjustment I would make is, I told Yasir before starting with recording that I am not a sheikh, I am just Umar. And this book, I'm the supposed author of this book, which is called Inspiration, Your Quran Journey Easier Than Ever. As the name entails, it's basically hifz and inspiration mixed together. So why I wrote this book was because I thought there were so many people out there that want to memorize the Quran, but they just don't know that it's something that is possible and it is something that we can easily integrate into our lives. So I wrote this book as... I wrote this book to help anyone memorize the Quran, but beyond that, also building a sustainable relationship to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So I have one question for you. Mm-hmm. As a fellow writer like you, I know how long it takes for me to come up with book titles. And when I see inspiration, I'm thinking 2 years of research, hifz and inspiration. What went down? How did the name come about?
Well, actually, how inspiration came about was there's this friend of mine called KMS. And what happened then was she was writing her university dissertation at the same time I was writing my dissertation. And she did something where every day she would wake up and post updates on how her dissertation was going. So if she said she was going to write 500 to 1,000 words today, at the end of the day, she would post an update as to whether or not she wrote that 500 to 1,000 words. So thinking about how I could apply that to the Quran, memorizing the Quran, people commonly refer to it as hifz. And then something I got from the story that KMS did was I got inspiration. Mm. So I thought if I was doing that for other people, I could just mix the two, hifzpiration. That's how the name came about. It was nothing special.
So can I say I have been inspired while reading this book? Because I got a very creative flashback. I got a very creative flashback because I started in Hadda too a while back ago. And I would start with so much vibe, what I want to do, I want to do, then I stopped doing it. You know, like there's this vibe when you start, you just feel like you really want to go there, and then it moves to the side. So there's something that you highlighted that reminds me of the time that I came back. I told my sheikh that, okay, today we need to go hard on this and why be of consistency. So how would you say, based off of what you have highlighted in the book now, for those who want to and who think they want to pursue this feat, how would you say they can build up on consistency regarding hifz on its own overall?
So there's this thing you mentioned about you having the motivation and wanting to push. People have this preconception that they need motivation to do anything, but that's an angle that I am personally opposed to, because motivation only gets you so far. Motivation by nature fluctuates. You always have moments of high motivation and you have moments of lower motivation. So if you want longevity, I would break it down into two things: having a certain amount of discipline and consistency. Discipline is you being able to show up even when you don't feel like it. And consistency is just being able to show up over long periods of time. For you to be able to show up, you need to make it easy and appealing to you. If you pick an amount, if I tell you to memorize one page every single day, is that an amount that you can keep up with?
Yeah.
If I tell you to memorize 5 pages every day, how consistent would you be in doing that?
5 pages out of the blue.
Yes.
I don't think that's possible. I'm not letting myself.
Exactly. So I think a key thing that everyone needs is thinking about not even only limited to memorization, but what is a portion of the Quran that I can read every single day, even when I don't feel like it? Because in any field you look, in any field you look into, the difference between the people that make it to the top and people that don't is the people that often make it to the top are people that can show up even when they don't feel like doing so.
So I have a quick question now. Dama, you know, overall, most of the prophets that we have come to know are the few that were mentioned in the Quran overall.
Yes.
You know? So, and I'd like to believe every single one of us would resonate to particular stories for particular prophets. So personally for me, I would say I lean more towards Prophet Yusuf and Prophet Ayub. Why? Because for my first book, I had a very traumatic experience, and I thought I was going to die. And much later on, I began to listen to a lot of videos on YouTube about his whole journey, his whole struggles. I was like, nothing really has happened to me if this is the case. Like, this is just basic hospital problems that can get medication and get out in a week. So, yeah, I started giving up on it. And then, of course, I read more and learned about it. This is not me actually physically looking for the ayahs or no. I just pick the stories and absorb what I can from them. Then, Yusuf, I have a lot of dreams that have turned to my stories that I've explained to you before. And that one, I've always been curious, like, yo, how can I get this gift to understand these dreams that I'm having? Because I feel like dreams are special to a lot of people. And they said that it's also a link to prophethood, as they said. The final link, oh?
Yes.
So I wanted to explore that path again. So recently, I've been having recurring dreams. And weirdly enough, for me, because like, I mean, I told you my favorite, the ones I know. Then I dream of Professor Kifu. And I know his name, but I didn't really know his story. So I just started looking at, like, where was he mentioned? And I found just two ayahs about him. I'm like, okay, wow. So, and I think it resonated with me in that sense because I was trying to do life by 5 by 4 and it was like patience. I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'm lucky to be told these even in my own dreams as well. So that's why I said, okay, I'll call my chef here. I think we need to discuss. Yo, I think I've been chosen. Yeah, so let's hear your own prophets then.
My own prophets?
Mm.
Well, I think the general overview I have of the prophet stories is that I tap into different prophet stories at different points in my life. Because I believe these stories of prophets, there's something so beautiful in them in the sense that every prophet has a unique test and he is tested to the extreme. If you look at Prophet Yusuf, he was tested in his family. How many people in the world right now have siblings that have tried to throw them into a well?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Prophet Yunus. He was in a dark place. How many people in the world right now have been in the belly of a whale?
Mm-hmm.
So like all of these prophets were tested in different aspects of life and they were tested to extremes. And the second part of this is these people are the people that are most beloved to Allah. So whenever I encounter myself, whenever I find myself battling something that has to do with my finances, my wealth, my relationships, my health, there are always these people I can look up to and say, this is someone that was tested to a higher degree, and he is someone that is more beloved to Allah. And of recent, I've started actually seeing trials and tests as opportunities to connect deeper to Allah. We've all heard that Allah tests
the strongest soldiers.
And those that he loves the most. So like different aspects give you opportunities to tap into different prophet stories.
So thank you very much. Madam Sheikh, what do you call you again?
I'm going to have a chicken wing at Salim.
I will not confirm or deny if I'm a scholar, a sheikh, or anything. If you give me that credit, I'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
I think as he mentioned, it was minus Yaqub, probably Yaqub, and I think just on a more, I'll just put it on a more surface level, it's just I can say, not just me, but a lot of people can relate to being in a dark spot in your life. This is the sheikh here. Robert Yunus, and before now, if not for you asking me this question, my mind has never, like every time I've been in a dark spot, my mind has never gone to think about relating what I'm going through to that of any of the prophets and comparing what I'm going through to what they're going through so I can start having a bit more sabr, having a bit more patience or perseverance or whatever. And I think that's something that a lot of us miss out on, as I think society in general, that whatever it is that you're going through, there is most likely a chapter of the Quran that can relate to what it is. And there's also a cause, action, and solution written there that you don't need to spend a lot of time dwelling on what you're going through or trying to figure it out yourself. If you were to sit down and actually break the Quran down and read the stories and critically analyze them, the solution to that problem is most likely there with one prophet or another, that if you were to sit down and critically analyze it, you would end up realizing that you know, he probably went through somewhat of a similar situation, and this is how he got himself out of it. Or even if he didn't end up getting himself out of that situation, this was the coping mechanism during that time frame. As you said, like Prophet Yunus with the whale, you can talk about, okay, fine, he was in a dark space, but there was a lot of patience with himself and perseverance, believing in himself. So he created a coping mechanism for it, and that was how he was able to mentally survive, even though there was no set date as to when he will end up getting out of that situation. But he was able to persevere. He was still able to communicate with God during them, pray and whatnot. But it's something that I believe that a lot of us don't do. We tend to just go through things ourselves. We end up praying and whatnot. But even, Adini, you've heard that saying before, tie your camel before you pray to God. You know, you can't keep on relying on, like, it's like he's already given you the tools to potentially solving this problem. So why do we, as a society, I'm not blaming anyone. Some people are just completely oblivious to it. They just don't know any better. And I totally understand that. But just to raise a bit of awareness, like, there is a potential. If you were very intentional about reading the Quran, and I think that's something I discussed with him too, that a lot of people don't necessarily read the Quran to understand it. They read it with the intention of just getting the reward of each letter. And the Quran was revealed as a message. That's what it was. Iqra from the beginning. Just read in the name of your Lord. This was presented as a message to humanity, not saying that this is a means for you to secure a place in Jannah. That was never it. You're meant to use everything within the context of each message to secure your space in Jannah, not taking the reward from each letter. You're memorizing it with the wrong intention. You're memorizing, it's a very selfish thing if you really think about it. How can God give you such a vast amount of knowledge and you just end up taking, saying, okay, no, I'm not, that's not my,
that's not
no, what I want is that. Like, thank you for this, but nah, I want this instead. You know, it's illogical. Like, the potential solutions to whatever problem, as you said, you could relate to something from the story. He can relate to something. I also can relate to a lot of things. And I think something that you did mention, that it all trickles down to at what point in your life there's something that you might be going through at a certain period in time that you can extract information from the Quran or reference as a potential either to relate to it. Because some people can actually find solace in the fact that what I'm going through, someone has been through it like tenfold. There's a prophet out there that has gone through this like on a level that I can't relate to. And in that situation, that's where it's like you should have a bit of saying, you learn to start saying, Alhamdulillah, someone has been through a lot worse. I'm not a victim. If he was able to survive, inshallah, I'll be able to survive too. So I think that's how I see.
You see, he's the
chef. No. Okay, you know what? I'll take it.
Chef, madam, salim.
I will take it. I'll take it.
Okay, thank you so much. So, while we're on the topic of Hifz and like the deen overall, I think it just shows us the importance of memory as an entity on its own. And I personally have been curious. You know, a lot of people have inspirations for Hifz, mostly for Salah, so they can actually use it in a more comfortable manner to actually explore their, come on, like for their memorization pattern, they want to rehearse or something. Most people rehearse through Salah, not just carving out time to go and read. They maybe pick a time of the night where there's nobody listening, just them trying to see if they can recall everything they have done for most of the day. So I began to wonder, because, you know, since overall everything is like the Quran preaches to ponder and to just think, like it wants you to think always about certain things. And what was the question I wanted to ask you? I wanted to ask you about the importance of like mindfulness and how it kind of brings you peace of mind and structure in terms of like when you structure. Oh, this question is not coming out. I swear it's not coming out.
Okay, I swear it's not coming out.
Well, I had it in my head, but I'll ask you still.
Let's rewind.
We'll still keep this here. Like the banter is needed. So.
I swear to God, it's not coming out.
So overall, okay, like my question was like, you see how some people view meditation as just to have peace of mind by listening around and just like, you know, and resonating within too as well. So I think it's also an amazing thing that you can still use your salah as a form of like getting that peace of mind in terms of like how they meditate as well as the like form of that, and still use this knowledge to still kind of work up your memory as a kind of, you know what I mean? Like, it's like two engine system.
You're killing two birds with one stone.
Yeah. So it's always interesting, but I would like to hear your take on it, because I know you mentioned some parts about how you were referring to memorization as some sort of gym workout scenario.
Hmm?
Yeah, you did. Yeah, I saw it. you said, I'll take you back to when I said...
You're putting me on the spot. What do you want me to talk about?
No, just to explore that, like just that point in there to highlight the importance and the beauty of the fact that this also kind of helps with, you know, like how you said, like the memorization makes you smarter, makes you more mindful, makes you more perceptive about certain things in life. So, yeah, just around...
You talk about the ripple effects.
When you said more mindful, I was just going to say more demure.
Oh, demure.
Okay, I think Sheikh Yasir.
Oh, no.
Your question has a lot of aspects to it, because you speak about cognitive ability.
Mm.
You speak about mindfulness and pondering, and you also spoke about how Salah can help you retain your memorization.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'll start with the gym analogy you asked with. So memorization has many similarities to working out,
mm-hmm.
in the sense that if you think about a workout, I go into the gym,
mm-hmm.
I have a set of exercises I do, and for each exercise, there's a number of repetitions I do. That's the same thing if you think about structuring how you memorize a page in the Quran. If a page was a workout, you would go into a page, you have a number of ayahs on each page, and each ayah you repeat a certain number of times. So that's how there's similarity in terms of the action. In terms of maintaining and diet, there's also similarities. When you work out, you do two things. You go to the gym to exercise, and you also have a diet to supplement your workout plan. So if you memorize the Quran, you also memorize new pages, and on top of that, you need to have a revision plan to act as your diet to maintain all the memorization you had before.
Mm.
So there are many very, very interesting similarities between working out and the process of memorizing the Quran. In terms of Salah is a really good way to act as a means to maintain your memorization, because I think if you're able to recite a chapter of the Quran in Salah, that's a really good indicator for you to know that you have memorized it well.
Mm, that's good. So hurry on.
No, I'll let you finish before I proceed.
Okay, so I like how you're relating the workout into the Quran, but I feel like as for me, adults, so if we're trying to use that scenario for a kid that would understand you, what would you do? What scenario would you play for the kid to understand, this is why I need to do hips, this is why?
Oh, that diverts from the original question you asked.
Okay, carry on.
For kids, I believe, as a kid, there's this thing that older people always say. They wish they had memorized the Quran when they were a lot younger. But the truth is, it is very, very hard to explain to a child why it is important to memorize the Quran, because it's just not as important to them.
Mm.
So there's also another interesting dynamic between this. For kids, they have really good cognitive ability, but in terms of their perception, their understanding, and their intention, it is very, very hard to find a kid that has a good amount of these three things. And you, as an older person, although you may have a little less in terms of cognitive ability for retention, you have a lot more understanding of why the Quran is important to you. You have better intention for engaging with the Quran, and you're able to understand it a lot better than any kid would. So if you're a kid, lean into the fact that you have excellent cognitive ability, and it's going to be so easy for you. Think of it like if you play video games, it's like having a weapon that can kill any enemy that comes your way. And you have the ability to get that weapon at an early age or at an early stage in the game.
You know, I asked about the kids,
because
there's this little project that we started with a colleague of mine,
uh-huh.
about it's like cinematic du'as. So you pick unique du'as that are taught to kids. Like the basic articles is very important, but you find a lot of people don't know how to recite it. Yeah, like simple, actually do it before you go to bed. All these small things that act as muraja'ah for you, but you don't realize it. You're just like, I'll just go, I'm tired, I'll sleep. So for them, we've done a scenario for that, and for Bismillah for food, like we had one where the kid is meant to say Bismillah before he eats, but then eventually the guy, the food just he doesn't get full, you know, and the mom is like, what's going on? So finally he says Bismillah, and then the whatever thing just
gets.
Then he's like, okay, I'm full now. So stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I think that's another way to also get them, because that's all they see. You know, today kids just want to see cartoons move on TV. Mm. And it's very simple to sneak in good and bad information through cartoons, because that's all they are. You as an adult, you wouldn't really be looking at what they are watching. If you feel safe that they're watching cartoons only, but you don't know what type of cartoon.
Mm.
So I think it's a good approach to move towards.
Definitely.
So now I'll be curious again. I know I didn't ask you before. Journaling as a whole. I believe not everyone understands the benefits and the beauty of journaling, because you don't value every experience that you have. Even now we're eating chicken and this thing. I think when we read this down tonight, look at it like maybe 3 years later, like, oh damn, that's true. I actually met here and had this. I wonder where these people are. Some memories kind of sleep down below. So you have no power to bring them back up, because you're an adult that is constantly working and adding to your memory bank. So, and I know a lot of times you have highlighted several times, I journal, and I like that. So why would you also encourage us to journal? Because I believe, like, since this is an experience from your own journey, definitely you must have taken so much from your journal to put in here. So
You want me to talk about journaling or benefits of journaling?
Look, I combine both. You're giving us knowledge, Sheikh Malam Umar.
I think journaling is definitely a very, very key life skill for anyone to have. There's this saying, if you want to learn more about the world, you read. If you want to learn more about yourself, you write.
Mm.
So there are so many benefits that come with journaling. Being able to have a growth mindset, a positive mindset, being able to be focused and have clear goals. Those are all things that I personally have acquired through journaling. And even in terms of relating things from the Quran into my life, journaling helps me kind of zoom out of situations and see, have different perceptions. I learned how to balance my emotions or how I feel towards things through journaling. Anytime I feel overwhelmed or stressed, or I just feel like things are not going my way, I just write down everything that is currently worrying me, stressing me out. And then I just replace all the worries I have with positive counterparts. And that's a very, very healthy way for me to balance the emotions I feel towards things that happen to me in my life. In terms of the Quran, if I start writing about situations, subconsciously, I start relating it to things I've picked up maybe or have seen in the Quran. Things you've mentioned, like the Prophet stories we were talking about earlier. If I notice, I'm in a dark place, as I write it down, I start thinking, Prophet Yunus was also in a similar situation. And then it's easier for me to relate that to my life. So I would say journaling does so many things for you. And in terms of capturing beautiful moments, I have this journal where I write down things that happen to me on a daily basis. And at the time they may happen, these things may seem so menial. I have this point from a journal of mine where someone just asked me how I was, and I was having a really, really bad day. Years later, I opened that same moment of someone just asking me how I was, and I can remember how happy it made me because of the situation at that particular point in time. So it's a really healthy way for you to appreciate the tiniest things that happen to you on a day-to-day basis.
Okay, so as we approach the end of this thing, I'd like to get your personal experience as we moved towards the launch, and how you feel now that the burden or the excitement is mellow. How do you feel compared to when this started and now?
When I started writing the book?
When the launch approached. No, you finished the book now. Mm-hmm. When the launch was upon you now, and so what was going through your head, and how are we now concerning what the book has done to you, based on the reception you've got from people?
Honestly, alhamdulillah, this event has been the biggest event of my life. Mm. And the launch day, personally, I would say, has been the best day of my life for as long as I can remember, for so many things. In terms of the build-up, it was very, very, very stressful. It was very draining. I would have calls with Yasser at 1 a.m. And I sleep by 9 p.m. So I haven't had a sleeping pattern for the past 2 months. In terms of headspace, I've had zero headspace. The only thing that is constantly on my mind 24/7 is something to do with the event. Something as little as, how is my outfit going? So it's been very occupying in terms of headspace, but wallahi, I am very, very grateful, because in moments where I have felt the most stress and the most tension towards this event, I remind myself that it is such a blessing for Allah to choose you to strive for His sake. Imagine if this is what I feel for trying to arrange an event for 500, 400 people. Imagine what it was like for the prophets that were sent to the entire Ummah. Imagine what stress they had to overcome to get to carry out the purpose that Allah sent them for. So wallahi, it's such a huge privilege. It's a huge, huge privilege and honor to struggle for the sake of Allah. After the event, I am extremely grateful. I loved how the people that mattered to me most, I was contemplating doing the launch in Nigeria or in the UK, but coming back to launch this book in Nigeria did something huge for me. Seeing the people that matter most to me all gathered around in the same place, and then it was just a thing of gratitude. It's not something I can do justice to with words. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. After this launch, there are two people that have reached out to me, and these two people finished reading the book on the day of the launch. So seeing this piece of work tangibly have a huge impact on the lives of other people, there's nothing more you can ask for you to put something out there, and then it's literally changing the life potentially of not just one person but generations to come. Inshallah.
So yeah, we are all very, very proud of you, and we're so happy to also be part of this journey as well. And questions are disappearing, you know, but it's coming back very soon.
These wings are really great.
I was going to ask you.
That's why I forgot the questions.
Yeah, our licensee is important for some things you're dealing with. So now we all know how some authors love the idea of the next step. Everyone always thinks of the next step. So we have inspiration part one. I'm sure you have to part two, part three, part four, part five, part six, part seven, part eight, part nine, part ten. So how are we on you thinking ahead? Because I know that once you stay away from the book for some time now, which is advisable for everyone that has worked on this, so that you can actually like see the outside world for some moments, then go back in again. Yeah. So what's there for you now in the writing world in the future for you?
I think I already have a really good idea of exactly where I see myself going in terms of writing. So the next book I plan on writing, inshallah, is not actually a book on the Quran, but it's a book that I want to be more life generic. But in terms of the Quran, so the sequel for inspiration, the way I'm approaching my life right now is the case of value input and value output. So at this point in my life, the value I'm able to give out is on helping people memorize the Quran, because that's the stage that I've gone through. Alhamdulillah, I've been able to go through university in the UK while memorizing the Quran. So I feel like it's value that I can and should have a responsibility to give out. Inshallah, within the next 5 to 10 years, I will have gone a lot further in terms of tafsir and my understanding of the Quran. So by that point in my life, inshallah, I'll be thinking, how can I help people learn how to engage and apply the Quran to their lives? So that's how I see it. At every point in my life, it would be a case of what do I have at this point, and what would be the best way to give that out to people.
Okay, so I liked your response about the tafsir bit, because I feel like it's also an interesting journey to take. So correct me if I'm wrong, I was listening to something recently, and there's an Imam Shafi, right? And they said he had gotten a guest of some sort, and I don't get the full gist. Maybe you can highlight upon it. It was around memorization and the guest himself. So you can highlight upon that. I feel like
you would know better than me.
No, but you get what I'm getting at, huh?
Yeah, Sheikh, you know better than me.
We all know better than you guys there, I guess, at this point. So I wish we had more knowledge on that. It was very interesting. I just don't want to communicate anything wrong, no false information. But it was pretty interesting, because it was really talking about how one of the parties memorized it, I think, before the day or something. It just shows you like the impact of memory even at that time, because they didn't have this to save the document. They didn't have this. So your only tool was your brain, actually. You could only save everything you had was to be here. You move to the next city to relate and get more people to learn it and keep moving again. So it just shows you the power of memory when there's no technology. Yeah, so alhamdulillah, we have a child with Yasser. And thank you, Sheikh Ustaz Malam Salim, Sheikh Ustaz Malam Umar Ganar, for chatting with me tonight.
A pleasure.
Now we can turn the camera off and eat properly.
Like, yes. That's all, like, in that immediately,
Alhamdulillah.